Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, the 1st of March, 2021, the 17th of Adar, 5781. Hope you are well. Hope you are safe in your part of the world. Man, I cannot believe it is already the 1st of March. This year is flying, absolutely flying. For those who celebrated the holiday of Purim this weekend, hope you had a joyous celebration. Even with the coronavirus restrictions, at least here in Israel, in theory, people were not supposed to get together in large groups. It looks like people still got together in large groups. We'll see. We'll talk about it a little bit later. We'll see what happens when it comes to the next holiday on the calendar, which is Passover. We'll see if we have to go back to any type of lockdown, perhaps as a result of the spread of the virus. I hope that's not the case. Maybe everyone who was partying out there was vaccinated, and that will not happen. But it was a pretty wild time. Number one, it was basically a three-day holiday. Purim is usually 2 days, one day outside of Jerusalem and the unwalled cities from the times of the Bible, the times of Joshua. And then you have the next day, Shushan Purim, in Jerusalem and other cities, but because Shabbat was in the middle there, the party extended to Sunday in Jerusalem. So people were partying Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was like a three-day huge party throughout Israel. And of course, yesterday in Jerusalem. And then I saw people yesterday. I was driving from Jerusalem to Gush Etzion in the afternoon. I managed to get into the city, even though there was a curfew and no public transportation between cities to the capital. I got in no problem yesterday morning, and on the way back, I saw people from Gush Etzion literally walking with their families from the Gush. That's like 20 kilometers walking towards Jerusalem, because they probably those individuals probably didn't have cars or didn't want to deal with the traffic. And since there was no public transportation, they were literally walking probably to celebrate Purim with other family members in the capital. It was pretty wild. I'm not just talking about one or two people. I mean, dozens of people walking on a main, like alongside the side of a main highway and through the tunnels which connect Gush Etzion to Jerusalem, walking to celebrate in the capital city. So it was pretty wild. That is now behind us. And as I said, Passover, it is now officially Passover season, with Seder night being less than 4 weeks away. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Passover as we get closer. But now let us delve into everything that is making the headlines here in Israel and the Middle East. Top story over the last couple days is an attack on an Israeli-owned cargo vessel on Thursday night. The Jerusalem Post with Reuters reports that Iran is the main suspect behind the attack on this Israeli-owned cargo vessel that was damaged by a mysterious explosion in the Gulf of Oman, according to Defense Minister Benny Gantz on Saturday. The Bahamas-registered ship, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Helios Ray, usually used as a vehicle carrier, was sailing to Singapore from Saudi Arabia when the explosion occurred. It was then diverted to a port in Dubai to assess the damage. The ship's crew was reported in good condition, no known injuries, and it continued under its own power to Dubai. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, also reported by the J Post via Reuters yesterday, said the incident was a reminder that Iran spreads terrorism and is conducting terrorist activities against civilian targets. So here you have an attack on an Israeli vessel. Iran, the main suspect, the main suspected culprit in this attack. And we'll have to see how Israel responds. And all the pundits and the various newspapers here in Israel are discussing the situation. And some are saying that Israel will respond, and we'll talk about perhaps they already responded last night, and how severe will a response be? Will Israel initiate a limited response so that we do not get dragged into a all-out war with the Iranians? What will the U.S. do? The U.S., of course, under the new Biden administration, seeking to get back into the good graces of the Iranians and perhaps rejoin the very bad Iranian nuclear deal. At least they're very interested in renegotiating, opening up ties, perhaps getting rid of all the sanctions which the Trump administration rightfully placed on the Iranians as a result of their worldwide sponsorship of terrorism and their goal of obtaining nuclear weapons. We're headed down, if in fact the Biden administration is going there, we are headed down the wrong path. Israel perhaps will have to now, I guess with the help of the other Arab Gulf countries who understand the Iranian threat, we may have to get involved in this issue directly with them and less so with the Americans if in fact they go down this path of getting back into the bad nuclear deal. This morning, turning back to the ship attack, Prime Minister Netanyahu blamed Iran for the blast in the Gulf of Oman and did not answer directly a question on whether he would retaliate. Netanyahu was speaking to Khan Radio, saying, quote, "This was indeed an operation by Iran. That is clear." And as I said before, the ship is now in Dubai undergoing repairs for two holes on its port side and two on its starboard side, just above the waterline, according to American defense officials. Now, Syrian state media reported Sunday that air defense systems were activated around Damascus due to an Israeli attack. A report carried on the official Sana news agency claimed the Syrian military intercepted several Israeli missiles. No comment by the IDF on the reported strike. Khan News, Channel 13, and Maariv all described the strikes as targeting Iranian sites and characterized them as a response to the blast that hit the Israeli-owned ship in the Gulf of Oman, which, again, Israeli officials have said, likely carried out by Iran. So perhaps last night was the beginning of a retaliation, and it had something to do with the attack on the ship. But Israel, of course, is not talking. Security officials not talking about last night's alleged strike on Iranian sites in the country of Syria. So we'll see how this plays out over the days ahead. Iran is not going anywhere in terms of the news. They are the greatest threat to world stability, the greatest threat to the Arab Gulf nations, and the greatest threat to the state of Israel. But people who don't get it have to understand it's not only about Israel. Yes, Iran has said time and time again they would like to wipe out the state of Israel, but it is about the entire world. So wherever you are listening to this broadcast, if you're in the U.S., it's about you also, Canada, wherever you are, who knows what the Iranians will do if they have the nuclear capabilities. So Israel needs to do everything in its power to prevent that from happening. Switching gears, Sierra Yisrael Hayom reported yesterday an Israeli citizen acted as a Hamas agent in Israel and worked for the terrorist organization's military wing in Gaza. Shin Bet in Israel police revealed just the other day the citizen was arrested on February 3rd, 43-year-old Mohammed Abu Adra, whose father is a Bedouin whose mother hails from Gaza. He's married to a Gaza resident and divides his time between Rafah and the Israeli city of Rehovot, using the Erez border crossing to get back and forth. A Shin Bet investigation revealed that Hamas recruited Abu Adra around a year and a half ago. Since then, he has been carrying out operational activities, including collecting and providing Hamas with information on the location of Iron Dome batteries. So here you have a guy who has been moving back and forth between Israel and Gaza, and it turns out he is a spy for Hamas. After a thorough investigation by Israel's security establishment. And this guy is providing information using his Israeli citizenship in order to gain access into different places. And what was he doing? providing information to Hamas on the location of Iron Dome batteries. Again, the Shin Bet said that Abu Adra provided Hamas unique and high-quality access to Israeli territory and carried out missions for the group. So here, an Israeli citizen with all the benefits of being an Israeli citizen, taking advantage and working for Hamas, and thank God he was caught. Hopefully he caught before he provided them with too much information. So well done. Shout out to, as they say, to the Israeli security establishment for catching this guy. JNS here reports the Zionist Organization of America blasted what it calls the frightening selection of Betty McCollum, a Democratic congresswoman from Minnesota, as chair of the House Appropriations Committee Subcommittee on Defense. This McCollum is a BDS supporter, has accused Israel of apartheid. She did so during a keynote speech to the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, a group with links to U.S. designated terror groups. She's also well known for repeatedly proposing legislation that would cut U.S. assistance to Israel due to its alleged mistreatment of what she calls Palestinian or Arab children. McCollum was also one of the few members of Congress to vote against the Palestinian Anti-Terrorism Act of 2006, which aimed to curb and defund Hamas. She accused AIPAC of being a hate group and urged its boycott. The watchdog group StopAntiSemitism.org has previously named McCollum as Anti-Semite of the Week and dubbed her BDS Betty for her anti-Israel positions. So here you have a member of the U.S. Congress, openly anti-Israel, being appointed to an extremely important position. And good job to the ZOA for blasting this appointment. And I don't know how things like this happen or the process which is involved. Perhaps out there you understand or you know how this happens. But here you have an Israel hater who has a very prominent position. Subcommittee on Defense is a powerful House committee that has jurisdiction over the budget of the U.S. Defense Department. Every military spending measure must be approved by the committee before being passed by the larger House, reported here by JNS. So that's some bad news there. And perhaps, I don't know. I don't know how these things work over there in the U.S. Maybe she can be forced out of this position if enough people open their mouths against an Israel hater, a BDS hater, a liar, accusing Israel of apartheid, being given this this high-level job in the U.S. Congress. Another report here from the United States. Two teens, JNS reports, two teens arrested after they were caught on camera Wednesday morning toppling memorials dedicated to children murdered during the Holocaust. The five custom-made metal sculptures were housed on the grounds of the Sherwin Miller Museum of Jewish Art in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Each statue filled with 2,000 rocks that has the names of Jewish children who were murdered on them. The teen suspects aged 15 and 16 were seen on video bending the metal statues, knocking them down, while also attempting to steal them. According to the museum, damage estimated at about $15,000. Tulsa Police Lieutenant William White, in a video posted online, said that while when your car is egged, that's not great. But here we're talking about something entirely different. Statues dedicated to the children, he said, lost in one of the greatest tragedies of humankind, vandalized. We are taking this very seriously. Another incident of anti-Semitism in the U.S. there. I mean, you have to be pretty sick or you have to have some type of warped upbringing if you're going to destroy statues which were built in memory of children murdered in the Holocaust. So a 15 and 16-year-old raised most likely in a hateful environment. I mean, you could argue this is just a random act of desecration or vandalism, but I doubt that. I doubt that very much, especially since you're seeing all types of anti-Semitic activity taking place, unfortunately, in the United States, throughout the country, You see reports like this almost every single day, and it's pretty, pretty disturbing. Switching over to the coronavirus situation here in Israel, according to I-24 News, Israel has administered at least one COVID-19 vaccine shot to 50% of the population, while 35% have received the full two doses. Health Minister Yulia Edelstein said on Friday. So Israel, with a population of 9.3 million, you can do the math, and the numbers have gone up since this I-24 report came out. These are the latest numbers as of this morning. 4.7 million Israelis approximately received their first dose, 3.3 second dose. We've had a total of 775,807 cases, active cases 36,000 plus, 754 serious, and unfortunately 5,752 Israelis have died as a result of the COVID-19. excuse me. Prime Minister Netanyahu aims to vaccinate all Israelis over the age of 16 by the end of this month, by the end of March. He said that would allow for a post-pandemic reopening of the country in April. It remains to be seen. We're talking about here opening up different entertainment venues, leisure sites. Those who have been vaccinated twice, who have the green passport or pass or whatever it's called, the application there. But proceeding with caution, as the R number, the reproduction number, and the virus is on the rise, according to this I-24 report, it is now up to, what is it, to 0.97. That is a stat as of Friday, and we'll have to see where that number goes and what happens now that things have started to open up a little bit here in Israel. The main problem, perhaps, is the Purim holiday, which we just had. Even with the three-day curfew in Jerusalem and throughout, well, the curfews throughout the country, but the extended curfew on Jerusalem and all the traffic yesterday, people being stopped, were trying to get to the Capitol, police turning people away. I guess, I don't know what they were basing it on exactly, if too many people were in a car or if people couldn't prove that they were vaccinated. I'm not sure exactly what the police were looking at there yesterday and all that traffic and all the checkpoints into the Capitol. But the Jerusalem Post reports this morning that large gatherings and parties in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem over Purim holiday this past weekend may require closing everything that has been reopened ahead of the Passover holiday, warned Coronavirus Commissioner Professor Nachman Ash. He spoke on Army Radio this morning. He said, "We are bringing the increase in infection rates in 10 days or 2 weeks. I have no doubt we will see it in the data." In other words, he's saying that he believes that there will be an increase. We'll see the increase in another 10 days. That's his point. If, in fact, people did not uphold the mask wearing and all that, and the social distancing, and again, I don't know if the people who are out partying had the double vaccines and everybody's going to be safe. It remains to be seen. But he did say, Professor Nachman Ash, he did warn that the option of another lockdown is definitely on the table if the infection rate rises. He said, "We will not endanger the public just to observe Seder night." That's the Passover ritual meal ceremony, if you will, that takes place on the first night of Passover. So we'll see where we are in another, he says, in another 10 days or so. Now, the Jewish press reports Prime Minister Netanyahu announced Sunday night, that's the last night, that the school year will be extended until the end of July. That's his plan, to extend school for another month because of the time missed due to the coronavirus. However, the teachers' union secretary, Yaffa Ben David, said that the school year will end on time on June 30th. So here we have the butting of heads between the government, the prime minister, and the teachers' union. She said that she would like to clarify the position has not changed. The teachers' union position has not changed. The school year will end as planned on June 30th. And here we have a battle ahead in terms of the schools. Remember, you still have a good portion of the country's students who are not in schools, who are still learning via Zoom and distance learning and what have you. But we'll have to see how this plays out. Netanyahu also told Army Radio that Israelis might need to get vaccinated twice this year, and that Israel is in talks once again with the pharmaceutical giants Pfizer and Moderna for additional mass purchases of COVID vaccines. This is reported by Israel National News. So we may have, and if you look, I know I have on my vaccination report, it says it's only good for 6 months. And I think Israel's already planning ahead and indicating that people will have to get vaccinated twice, at least for the first year, twice within a year, and not just the two shots that those of us already got this month. We may have to go and get another booster, I guess. I don't know if it's one shot or two shots again. It might have to happen in 6 months from now. So I got mine in February, so it looks like in August might have to go back and get another dose, at least one dose, maybe two doses of the, in my case, the Pfizer vaccination. So we'll see what happens with that. Switching back to anti-Semitism, I literally just got this press release just this very second here. A new University of Haifa study reveals that coded language is being used to fuel anti-Semitism online. A new study authored by Dr. Gabriel Weissman, a professor of communication at University of Haifa, and web intelligence analyst Ari Ben-Am, has revealed the existence of a new coded language on social media being used by anti-Semitic groups to fly under the radar of artificial intelligence design algorithms. So here you have people, the point is you have people who are such Jew haters that they're going out of their way to develop a new coded language so that they can spread their anti-Semitic messages. The sophisticated language was, according to this press release, which is used for both propaganda and recruitment purposes, is hidden in plain sight and encourages violent incidents like the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand or the January Capitol riots. So here you have this this language, coded, hidden language, used on social media. I just got this press release right now. It just got sent to me this morning. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the lengths and efforts people will take to spread Jew hatred. And I think other groups here are being targeted. According to this report, it's a whole language also referring negatively to African Americans, Latinos, but numbers standing for references to Hitler, all you can go into this, all this, I'm sure it'll come out in the press here, at least in Israel, but all this effort, bottom line, for Jew hatred, and it's unbelievable the lengths people will go to spread this hate, but it is the reality, folks. After all that, let's finish with some positive news here, as I like to do every week. Another advancement coming out of the State of Israel, reported by Israel 21C, new biological antibiotics can beat tuberculosis. This marks the first time that researchers have managed to develop a biological antibiotic from human antibodies. And again, I'm not a medical expert at all, but researchers at Tel Aviv University have demonstrated in laboratory mice that monoclonal antibodies can be substituted for antibiotics to hinder the growth of tuberculosis. That's a mouthful. Germs. Go to Israel 21C. Check out this new research coming out of Tel Aviv University. And just another contribution to the world coming out of Israeli innovation, and in this case, medical innovation, in order to combat tuberculosis. Go check it out on Israel 21C. But if you're a BDSer, if you're a hater of Israel, do not check out this information, and you just deal with your tuberculosis. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't use this, once it comes out, this Israeli technology, this biological antibiotic. Don't use it. It's not for you. Stay true to your cause and don't be a hypocrite. That's the bottom line. And that's going to do it for today's show. It's a little bit of a slow news day. Thank God. You know, we can thank God if it's a slow news day here. I think everyone is basically hungover. I really think that's what it is. For those who don't know, there is a custom on Purim. It's like one of the only holidays, if not the only holiday in the Jewish calendar, where you are encouraged to drink wine and basically get drunk. And there are a lot of different opinions on how far you should take it. But just the feeling here in Jerusalem, as I speak to you from just outside the walls of the old city, it feels just like everyone is kind of chill or hungover or tired. One of those things after a 3-day holiday weekend. So I hope we can always have slow news days and we can focus on other things. But that is the way I feel here coming to you from Jerusalem on this Monday morning, the 1st of March. I can't believe it again. I said it before. I can't believe it's already March 1st. Unbelievable. 17th of Adar, 5781. The Passover stretch has just started as we get to the spring holiday. We celebrate the Jewish exodus from Egypt. My name is Josh Haston. Big shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, Tabitha Epstein, for everything she does behind the scenes here at the Land of Israel Network. Get in touch with me during the week. Let me know what you think. Love the show, hate the show, whatever it is. Happy to read your emails on air. josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, Joshua Haston or Josh Haston Israel Advocacy and Journalism. On Twitter @JoshHaston and now on Instagram as well. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again, please God, next Monday, everyone in the wonderful world of ours, be safe. Shalom, shalom from Jerusalem, Israel, the eternal capital of the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Shalom.
My name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. What started as an online seminar has grown into a global fellowship with hundreds of members from over 30 countries. I don't know how you found this or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence. And I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the land of Israel. Instead of learning the Bible as a religion, it's the Torah of Israel, the living guidance of God. So please join us for our next online gathering. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com.